Praise God the Lord.
Bless you. Man, thank you, Pastor Mike, so much. Love you, brother, very much. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. And just a real refreshing time in the presence of the Lord this morning. Amen. And for Joe and I to be here together with you today, it's always something we look forward to. And really thankful that in God's plan and the timing of everything, we were able to be here today. Seems just right. And it feels that way to me, and I have heard and received and been touched today, even in my body, I believe, today. I needed that. Thank God that our healer is in the house with us right now and is working on us and is working in every place, even as we've touched by prayer today and come into agreement in ways that we don't even know how to ask Him to do. And the Holy Spirit is helping us to pray those things into our lives and upon one another. And so the refreshing, may it continue here today. It is just been a few weeks ago that some of us, a team from Tree of Life Church here, and with some others that we minister with and work with over in Asia, this time specifically in the country of Myanmar, we were really blessed and thank God for the team that came, Pastor Mike and with Brother Jack and Sylvia, I see back there today, also Kristen and Jeremy, other pastors that joined with us, some from there in Asia, some traveling from here in the U.S. back in January. Just as always, we had a great time together personally, but also God was working through the team in a powerful way. I've heard nothing but good reports and thank yous and doors open of invitation to please return whenever it's possible to return back over there. Actually, I was thinking this morning, Pastor Mike, I think it was 6 years ago the first time that we traveled to Asia together. I think we went to Malaysia. And every year since then, we've done that. Isn't that a blessing? Next year would be, I think, 2011 beginning. So next year would be the seventh year. Maybe I'll get a break in that seventh year. I don't know. I know the best break for me would be that it just continue right on. And that we do more and see more. Praise the Lord. By the way, thank you for praying about those girl pants before you decide to go that way. And if you would, pray twice. And I hope that visual leaves my mind before too many days pass. I do know for a fact that he owns some skirts. Yeah, you don't wear them. You have before. We were given a gift of some Longjie skirts one time over in Burma. I think it happened just this past time too, but we wouldn't have to wear them. We'd have to model them the first time we did. Pardon me? Those gifts? We had to pull them on. Yeah, okay. My wife wants me to explain that it's in the culture of that place, the men commonly wear these Longjie skirts. And there's nothing wrong with it to anybody. But we don't feel comfortable in them at all. And I don't ever plan to wear one of those again. The trip was great. I did want to share that I had a couple of videos that I had taken myself, little short clips that I wanted to show this morning, but I left behind one of my memory sticks, you know, and then the technology that I carry with me is old and outdated, and we couldn't match up, and so I'll describe it to you. It's in a city called Michina
in the Kachin state of northern Myanmar on a day when nearly 200 children who live in Christian orphanages there in that city area gathered together. And I think you've probably seen some video of some things that happened that day. It was a great day. And one of the great times, great memories that I have of the mission work that we've been able to get involved in over there in that part of the world. And in the video I had, there were in one room all of these kids all at once trying to get their hands on a couple of parachutes, I think, that Pastor Christian and Jeremy had brought over. And they were up and down with these parachutes and balls bouncing in the air, everybody laughing at one time. It went on like that for about an hour that morning without a break. So much energy in that room and so much excitement. And it's amazing that in the atmosphere of the love that Jesus sends you in, the response of kids to that and how it can change your life. And also their life was changed, and they'll never forget it. Thank you for being a part of that. Also, before I left Myanmar, because I was another 2 weeks in the country after the team from the church here left, I was able to see some gifts that the church had sent that were intended. And because of our travel, we got separated from some of these gifts. But before I left the country, in another gathering of Christian children home kids, all of these gifts were poured out on their lives and put in their hands, and they were blessed by that. It was toys and other bracelets and other things, coloring books and supplies for school, all these kinds of things. Some lives were really touched, and the kids were blessed. And so I know that many of you, with prayer and with your love offerings and in other ways, were involved in all of these missionary efforts. And so God bless you back many, many fold, and I know He will, in Jesus' name. Many times when I receive an invitation and an appointment is made for a time to be together like this morning, and as Pastor Mike did, he said, please come and share the Word of God with us here at Tree of Life Church, that almost in the very moment, or quickly after that telephone call and the hang up, it's not unusual that the Holy Spirit will say something to me. I'll hear something. A lot of times it's just one word. It's amazing what God the Holy Spirit can do in your life with one word. It is amazing. It is absolutely amazing beyond understanding what the Holy Spirit can do in your life in a moment or over a stretch of time with one word that you hear. It's because your spirit hears it first. Your spirit hears it, your spirit receives it, your spirit believes it. When God the Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit believes it and receives it 100% without withholding. Then from there, the challenge is that with our soulish man, our mind, we begin to believe just as much as there is faith and trust and belief in every word that comes out of the mouth of God in the Spirit, that we would believe just as much with our mind. But in order for our mind to believe that much, we've got to overcome the doubt of the natural man. In our traditional English study of the Bible, we call that the flesh a lot of times. The natural man. The natural man never believes what God says. When does the natural man believe and agree with what God says? After it dies, and it comes back in a glorified form, free of the limitations and the sin curse that is on this body now. Death is in the future of this body. Death is not in the future of the spirit man that lives inside this body. I am now, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who I will always be. And I am becoming more and more and more that man, by the faith of Him who loved me and gave Himself for me. It is Christ in me, the hope of what? Hallelujah. The hope of glory for all of me. But right now, I'm dragging along a dead weight that doesn't get it and never will. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The Apostle Paul said finally at the end of a long rant in Romans chapter 7. He then said, oh, I thank God. It is through Jesus Christ my Lord. And then he said, Romans 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after thee, but after the Spirit. Praise the Lord. I heard God say to me, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. He wasn't talking about the holiday, November's American holiday of Thanksgiving, which I love, not just for the food, but for family and for thanksgiving to God. But he was speaking about the ministry to which we have all been called and the command that has been given to every one of us that we should live in constant thanksgiving to God. Are you always thankful? Are you always giving thanks? Have you perfected this yet? But do you believe it? Do you believe that we should? Do you believe that we can? Well, that's what matters, right? And we're going that way. Are you always thankful? Probably not. Should you be? Yes. Do we want to be? Yes. Are we becoming people who always are walking in thanksgiving? Not just thinking it, but also doing it. Do we believe that every moment that we live, every day that we live, with every breath that we take, with every thought that passes through our mind and everything we undertake to do, we could do it in such a way that we are showing, saying, giving to anybody who is looking our direction, who happens to come under the influence of the life that we're living, that man is thankful to God. Let it be. Are you always thankful? Are you always in peace? Because this morning, I believe one thing that God wants us to get into our heart is that being thankful and living in thanksgiving, it is more than just good manners. It's more than just proper etiquette. It's not only remembering what your mama taught you. Thank you. Please and thank you. Good manners, all of that. Yes, it is good. That is proper. But for Christian believers who are constantly in this battle between walking after the things of the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, and overcoming the leading of the natural side, and in every circumstance, haven't we seen it this morning? Haven't we rehearsed it and talked about it this morning, even in this place? There are two opinions in the house. One may be based on fact, but the other one is true and is always true. And that is, God is for us, who can be against us? That is, God is right and has never been wrong. That is, God's way is good and God has good things planned for us. It's so easy to believe the other opinion, but there's only one that is true without exception and will never be shaken. It's one that is revealed to us in the Word of God. And if we are that thankful man or that thankful woman of God, according to Scripture, and we get this into our life, it will change our life, and we will learn that it's more than just good manners. It's more than just proper etiquette. It's more than just being nice and kind. It's more than just being a gentleman. It's more than just honoring the teaching that you got in your raising from mom and daddy or whoever it was that put those good things into your life. It's more than just being mature. It's more than just being, according to the ways of man, a good man and not a presumptuous man and not a rude man. Being thankful according to the Scripture and this lifestyle, I feel like I'm getting revved up a little bit right here. Yeah, I feel that just a little bit. You want me to take a breath? Being that thankful man is offensive. I'm speaking scripturally now. And according to the thanksgiving that is alive in our spirit, which has been born of God, which is in Christ, and He is in me by His Spirit, there is a thanksgiving that wells up by the presence of the Holy Spirit in me in every circumstance, over everything that my eyes see that war against the peace of my mind, over everything that I hear that tells me, oh, we're headed down a bad road, things are going to get worse before they get better. There is something that comes up out of me that is the result of the command of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, that is spoken again by the Holy Spirit again and again and again in the Word of God. The Apostle Paul, it was one of his life messages. He could not write, he could not teach, he could not preach. I don't think he could talk to anybody without reminding all of those who were of the faith, all of those who were of the church, all of those who were born of Jesus' blood and live to show His love to other people, that we ought to be thankful. Because that thanksgiving that we speak of here is something that is offensive to the ways of men. It is offensive to the ways of men that is based upon the laws of nature that are ruled over by the enemy of God, that have been pushed into the culture and the ways of men that says you've got to be after yourself first. You've got to look for yours. You've got to go and get it. You've got to take it. You've got to close the door at some point because people will take from you. There's no such thing as a free lunch. All of this worldly wisdom that we hear on and on. And I could go on with that. But I think you get the picture that I'm taking. Being thankful to God, it works in us to bring forth the better qualities of the nature of Jesus Christ and the full character that was on display when He walked upon the earth. He was a giver more than a taker. He was a lover. He was more concerned about the needs of others. He was in full belief and confidence that God the Father had His cause fully in hand, that He was never going to go to sleep outside of the will of the Father. He was never going to finish a day outside of God's plan. He was never going to be sent into a situation that God hadn't prepared Him for, and that the Holy Spirit was not more than enough in His life, not only to take care of Him, but through Him to change the future of everybody that He encountered. He was a minister in every sense of the word. He was a servant in every sense of the word. He was a giver in every sense of the word. He was a healer. He was a redeemer. He was a deliverer. And He was a savior. And He did it all in an attitude of thanksgiving. At every point He said, all the glory go to the Father. All the praise, all the thanks goes right back to the one who sent me. The purpose that I live for is not my own, but it's His. The words that I speak are not mine, but they're His. The things that I do are not my works, but they're His works. Therefore, thanks be to God. Therefore, glory be to the Father. Therefore, all the credit be to the Father. Look at Him. Lift up your eyes and look at Him. Lift up your voice and call on Him. Open up your heart and give your life to Him. Bow down and worship Him. It's not me, it's Him. All I can do is say thank you. Thank you. Thank you that you have chosen through me to manifest heaven, to manifest the gifts of the Spirit, to manifest the future of everyone who believes in you. All I can do is be a vessel and to give you thanks and to give the glory back to you. And as long as I do that, there is no end to where He'll lift me, where He'll take me, what He'll show me, what He'll reveal to me, how He'll use me, and what He'll give me. Because a thankful man is a peaceful man with himself and God, and he is a man who is well supplied at all times. Amen. Well, I'd like for you to turn with me to the Psalms. I want you to, let's read a few verses of Scripture. And let the Word of God teach us just a little bit. In Psalm 95, I'm gonna read a couple of verses in Psalm 95 and then jump to the next one, then jump to the next one, then jump to the next one. And let's let the Word of God speak to us. Concerning this thought of why Thanksgiving, why always Thanksgiving, and why always peace manifest among the thankful. In Psalm 95, verse 1 says, "Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation." I'm reading here from the New American Standard Translation. It says, "Let's come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." Psalm 96, verse 1. "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth." Psalm 95 says, "Sing and shout joyfully and be thankful and shout joyfully and sing psalms because the Lord is great and He is above all gods." Here in Psalm 96, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth." And verse 2 says, "Sing to the Lord, bless His name, proclaim good tidings of His salvation from day to day." Doesn't say every Sunday. It doesn't say every other day. It doesn't say on your birthday and your anniversary and Christmas and Easter. From day to day. Psalm 97, verse 1. "The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice." Let, it does not say, those nations with democratically elected governments rejoice. Those Christian nations rejoice. Those nations who have received with open heart the message of Christ and are primarily, no, let the earth, let the planet. In fact, this reference is to the cosmos or to all of the environment that is inhabited by the presence of the living God. "Let the earth rejoice, let the many islands be glad." Well, that takes into account the entire earth and every island or every landmass that men's feet may walk on. Psalm 98, verse 1. "Sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done wonderful things. His right hand and His holy arm gained the victory for Him. The Lord has made known His salvation. He has revealed His righteousness in the sight of the nations." Again, that's all of them. All of them. If you're feeling what I'm pointing to here, everything and all things and all the earth and all nations and all continents. Verse 3 of the same psalm says, "He has remembered His loving kindness and His faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God." Wow. Who has seen the salvation of our God? By faith written and by faith read today. And by faith believed in this place. The ends of the earth. Psalm 99 says, "The Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble." The peoples, plural. What does this refer to? All people groups. All tribal groups, all language groups. All cultural groups, all peoples that are defined by special language, special culture, special heritage. "Let the peoples tremble. He is enthroned above the cherubim. Let the earth shake." Now this is a reference, again, not just to the physical planet, but everything that inhabits the creation of God and is under the oversight of that Creator and is therefore under the authority of that Creator, and to whom that Creator is being revealed. Verse 2 says, the Lord is great in Zion, and he is exalted above all the peoples. Is there a mandate with the people of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today? And has it not been so that throughout the ages, even before the time that these Psalms were written? But thank God that the Psalms are very, very prophetic passages of Scripture. And they have referencing to different times and different groups. But we find in here, and our spirit hears from these words right here, that we have under God an obligation to continue what God has been doing in the earth for centuries now. And that is revealing his salvation to the earth, to all the people of the earth, to the ends of the earth, to all of the land masses and the people who live there, to every cultural group, to every tongue, to every tribe, to every people, and to all of them. My purpose in reading this and talking about this today is to give us a picture, allow us to see and get into our heart that we are connected to the Lord God of all, the Creator of all, the Savior of all, and his word is a word that has been sent to all. Not just to all today, but to all of those who have lived and will live for all time. And we are connected to this great purpose. And it has come to us by the grace of God. And it has come to us by the goodness of God. We are not of ourselves saved, Ephesians chapter 2 says, lest any man should boast. But by grace are you saved through faith. I like to say this, it's one of my favorite things. Everything that happens in our lives to bring us from a place of no purpose, from a place of darkness, from a place of ignorance, from a place of just existing, into a place of purpose, into a place of light, into a place of knowledge in God and increasing, into a place where that we understand that I am no accident, but I have been given by God a life to live. And that life is eternal. The time on this earth is just an introduction. It's just a prelude to what will be for all time. And everything that I am, all the glory, all the honor, all the thanks, at all times, in all places, before all people, in all nations, to the end of this earth, ought to be lived and said and done to the glory of him who called me with such a high calling and with such a purpose as this. Because what you see here, pardon me, in this moment in front of you, doesn't tell the whole story. You may not like what you see according to the outside. You may not like what you hear according to the way that I deliver it and my style and ministry. You may have different preferences, and no doubt many do, because we all are special according to our creation. And it's no different now than it will be for all of eternity. But we are called together to accomplish something. And that is a high calling. And that is an important calling. And it says all people in all nations, in all of the corners of the earth, on every continent of the earth, for all time, is having revealed to them the salvation of our God. And it is not by us, but it is by him. It is not our doing, but it is his doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes, and it should be. And thanksgiving should be something that marks our walk, that marks our talk, and marks the life that we live. And when we come to an end of that walk on this earth, we will say that together with the purpose of God and all of those saints, all of those believers, all of those people of faith, all of those blessed by grace, the grace of God, through faith, that is the faith of the man, they have discovered a purpose and have lived to the glory of him who redeemed them from the curse. And they shall live again, and they shall be glorified, and they shall live forever, and they shall always be a people of thanksgiving, surrounded by peace, going out and coming in with joy, and their life will have meaning, not only now, but forever, through the higher purpose of God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Glory to God. Glory to God here. Glory to God everywhere.
Glory to God in every nation. Glory to God in every language. Glory to God despite the culture. Glory to God despite the ignorance of those who are bound in false religion. Glory to God in spite of those who believe things that are not right and are not healthy and are not good and don't agree with the Word of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? Glory to God anyway, because change is in the future, potentially, of every person who lives on this earth, because God has said it. All of them shall see and shall know the revelation of His salvation in the earth. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, something bad happened last Sunday. We're still here. Our testimonies only are enhanced. The devil says, oh, I did my best, and I missed again. What an idiot. What a fool. Sometimes I call him dog breath, and that's an insult to dogs. The devil is a loser and the father of losers. He's the father of lies and the father of lies. He's a liar and the father of lies. He's a loser and the father of losers. The devil is lost in his effort to overcome the purpose of God to reveal himself to all people and for all times. Amen. What does this have to do with you and me? How does this help us and how does this encourage us today? Oh, praise the Lord. I want to look at some verses of Scripture before I close here in a minute over in the New Testament from the Apostle Paul's writings. A few months ago, over in Africa, Lusaka, Zambia, we had a blessed time there, and on a Sunday morning, we visited a local church there. We did ministry, and that day, Brother Anson Thomas and I were together, as well with his brother-in-law, Stanley. We had a great time. And we were ministering in a church there that was a church, very young church, very young pastors. So much life and so much excitement. And as I was sharing with them, I gave a personal testimony of how years ago, 20 years ago, a family moved into a house across the street from where we live. And they had young boys. And our boys were young. And so immediately they became friends and began to play together. The family was not Christian. Had no Christian background whatsoever. I mean, they were far from God. But we tried to get to know them. They didn't want to come to church. But a few months after they had moved in there and after we made this acquaintance, there was their oldest son, who was about 9 years old at the time, he got very sick. They took him to the doctor, and the doctor discovered that this boy had been born with one kidney, and his kidney was functioning at a very low level. He was very sick because of it. Right away, they ordered some consultation at Children's Hospital in Dallas, Texas, and then he was ordered within a week for a surgery. But on the day that they heard this news, this mother came to me. In fact, I was putting gas in my car in front of a convenience store. And she pulled up in her car, and she and that little boy got out, and they came around. They ran to me, and they both fell on me, and they began to cry. And pretty soon she was able to tell me what was going on. And right there standing in that place, I laid my hands on that boy, and I prayed healing, restoration, creative miracle. Just trying to be led by the Holy Spirit. We were right there. The cars were coming and going. And I invited them also to pray with me. You want to give your life to Jesus right now? Well, of course they did. They became Christians. They became believers who were born again right there while the gas pump gas was still running into my car. Later that week at the hospital in Dallas, the surgical team went in with that boy, and just in a little bit, the lead surgeon came out and he said, "Well, we have good news. We actually did very little, because we find that this boy's kidney has already made progress. We made a mistake or something. What we diagnosed or what we saw by way of the x-rays and things, his kidney is large, it's healthy, it's actually functioning abnormally well. We're going to take him off of the transplant list. Everything's okay." Other family members became Christians. That miracle excited the church. It was a great thing. That morning in Lusaka, a few months ago, when I shared that testimony and then went on and finished my message, and afterwards we were sitting outside under a shade tree drinking some juice, and the pastor's wife came up and said, "Pastors, may I interrupt, because some of the people during the service today were receiving miracles in their body and were being healed, and the testimonies are coming in over here. And this one young lady would like to share with you." And a young lady stepped up, and she was about 30 years old. She was a professional worker, an accountant or something, I think. And she said that just a few days before this Sunday, she lived with her sister, and her sister was telling her, "You are pregnant," and was accusing her because she looked pregnant in her clothes. And she said, "I'm not married, and I don't have a boyfriend, and I'm not sleeping with any men, and I am not pregnant." And she went to see the doctor, and they discovered that she had a really large tumor that was down in her lower abdomen. She said, "But this morning, you were telling that testimony, and my mind was lifted off of the attack and the depression and the discouragement." She said, I told them on Friday at the doctor's office, "No, I'm not going to be checked into the hospital today. I'm going home and I'm going to church this Sunday because I believe God." Well, see, by her faith, something was set in motion from that moment. But she heard the word of God and other testimonies, but she said it was during that testimony. See, I believe that by the Spirit, in that atmosphere as she was receiving, that thanksgiving rose up inside of her to a healer who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can think or ask. And while she was just sitting in that atmosphere, her own faith being released more and more because thanksgiving over what God had done for others began to cause her to begin to praise and glorify and honor God. She became somebody who was not doomed by a cancer that was growing down on the inside of her body, but a fellow heir of those who are led of the Holy Spirit in a world that is lost and very sick. But she rose by thanksgiving and praise up out of that place in the middle of that sanctuary, and nobody knew what was going on except her and the Holy Ghost. And she was healed. She was healed as she sat there and glorified God for what he was doing for others on the other side of the world, and that he had sent somebody with a testimony that God is big, that God is good, that God is for us, that he is the God of all the earth, all the peoples, all the nations, every language, and he is revealing his salvation to all of those who are able to hear and to receive. Maybe you're where you are today, not because of what you need. I keep losing that thing right there. Need a bigger ear or something. But because somebody is under the influence of your thanksgiving, of your peace, of your constant joy, of your constant faith, of your steadfastness. I'm talking about who you are, not by your doing, but by God's grace and through your faith. God's grace, my faith. God's grace, my faith. By grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, lest any man should boast. It's always God's grace, and it's always my faith. God's grace has provided it all. My faith pulls it into my life. My faith must ever be increasing, and by thanksgiving and praise. I really haven't even got past introductory remarks on this because there's much meat in it. But I would encourage you to let the Holy Spirit lead you into a study concerning how that thanksgiving is more than etiquette and more than manners in the life of the Spirit-filled believer, but it is offensive to the kingdom of Satan, and it is the key to unlocking the constant peace, the constant joy, the constant leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. And your future is changing right now as you sit and believe what God is saying and you obey the leading of the Holy Spirit. Every time you hear from God and obey Him, you change your future. Every time you use your faith, you change your future and the future of someone else. Don't discount it, but believe it. Get into thanksgiving and let thanksgiving get into you. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Pray without ceasing, rejoice always, and in everything give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Well, I don't know what the will of God is, Pastor. I don't know what the will of God is. I don't think I'm in a perfect place. I don't think I'm right where God wants me to be. I don't think I can deal with the persecution that is so constant on this job or in that place or in my family. I don't think I can deal with the disagreement or the lack of joy, the lack of grief, on and on and on and on. One thing I do know today concerning the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, in everything, give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. If you'll just begin, you'll find a wellspring rise up inside of you that there is more than enough in you to change the atmosphere that surrounds your life and to change the future of someone else. Do you believe it? Thank God in Jesus' name this morning, Lord, for your word. I thank you for being in this house and for speaking to us in this place and for giving to us today a word that we can live by, and also, Lord, the direction by your word that will lead to change in our life, a better future, and change in the lives of others that we are blessed to influence for your glory. Thank you that you're Lord of all, that you're Lord over all, that you're Lord in all, and through us today, you are manifesting that kind of great glory for your name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. God bless you. I'm going to turn it back to the pastor right now. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, we appreciate that word, and I know that what must be done.